My name is Adam. I've been here for about a month, and I'm kind of getting to know everybody. You get to know people pretty well when you serve with them. This past week was a very interesting opportunity to get to know Christian a little better. We had a dinner together as a staff, and then as I was leaving, I put on my boots really fast and laced them up, and I was limping because it felt like maybe I let my sock slip down into the toe of my shoe. Anybody ever have that problem? Yeah. But, you know, the laces were all done, so I just kept limping along, and it was cold and so forth. Then as I'm driving home, I got a text message from Christian confessing his sin, that he had put a napkin in the toe of my shoe. So just kind of getting to know who you're working with here, you know. We have an opportunity, actually, to get to know God by serving with him. Do you see what I did there? That was a pretty nice little turn. We get to know God, actually, through serving. And today we're going to talk about how we can actually be with Jesus in service. As we're serving others, we're actually with Jesus. And before I go any further in the sermon, let's stop and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this opportunity for us to study it together. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we are hungry to hear from you. And so I pray that you would speak to me and speak through me that we may experience the presence of the living God here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at John chapter 13. And as we turn there, if you'd like to turn there with me in your Bible, as we turn there, I'm reminded also of someone else that I got to know through service. My mother was quite a saint. She's an amazing lady. She was a nurse, and she started off as a pediatric nurse, and then later in her career, she became a geriatric nurse working with the elderly, and then eventually a mental health nurse. But by the time I was 13 years old, there were over 13 emergencies on file at the hospital where my mother worked. Everything from me breaking my ankle to knocking my teeth out to shooting my hand, a BB through my hand, I really tested my mother's patience. But I saw her in action, and I kind of understood why she was the type of patient and kind person she was when she had become a geriatric nurse and she was working long hours. And I would sometimes go straight to the hospital where she worked after school because there was nobody at the house. And I watched her caring for people who were getting older. No one was coming to visit them. In some cases, they're suffering from dementia. I watched my mother create a course for young people who hadn't gotten very much education but really needed an entry-level job. And so she would train them to be nurses' assistants. And I watched the pride on her face as her students would graduate. And so I got to see a side of her that I wouldn't have seen had I never been with her as she was serving. And she allowed me to help out, to participate, sometimes to run games for all of the folks at the hospital or help serving them their food. And serving with her gave me a connection to her that is a wonderful memory for me now. I had remembered earlier just watching this woman in the white dress with the white stockings walk out the door and come back later in the day. And everything that happens outside that door is a mystery. But when you're able to serve alongside somebody, even for a short time, there's a connection that we get with them. Jesus wants us to get to know him that way as well. And we're going to see a passage of scripture that really brings this to light for us. Let's take a look at John chapter 13. We'll pick up in verse 1. This is taking place the night before Jesus was crucified. It says, "Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? For you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." This incident is shocking in our day and age, but even more so during the time of Jesus. How many of you take really good care of your feet? Let's be honest. How many of you do? Some of you are like, "I just got a pedi this week. My feet are beautiful." I'm not that person, okay? My feet are pretty bad, and I'm not exaggerating. They're bad. You don't want any part of it. So I can understand why this story would have caused Peter in particular to kind of react the way he did. But it's actually a lot worse for that time than it is now. If you think about it, they walked on dusty, dirty roads that were shared with animals, animals that just kind of used the road as a bathroom, And so as they were walking along, their feet picked up all kinds of things, and they wore sandals, open shoes, so their feet could get absolutely filthy. This job of washing a person's feet, if you didn't just wash your own, only the lowest of slaves would do this job. The lowest servant in the house would be the one who would actually wash a person's feet. And Jesus, with his disciples, are seated at dinner, and they haven't washed their feet at all. Now, the way the table is laid out, it would be kind of in an L shape, and it's low to the ground, and they would be leaning on their left side, reclining on pillows, so that their right hand was free to reach and eat at the table. So their feet are kind of pointed away from the table. And while they're eating, Jesus gets up from that table. He would have been seated in the corner, kind of in the place of honor. He gets up from the table, goes around to the back where everyone's feet are pointing away from the table, and taking off his outer garment, he gets this bowl of water, ties a towel around his waist, and gets down on his knees and starts washing off the mud and who knows what from the disciples' feet. And Peter is watching all of this in horror, so that by the time Jesus gets to him, Peter's like, "What? Are you kidding? Are you actually going to try to wash my feet?" And Jesus says, "Look, you don't understand what's going on. I'll explain it to you. You'll understand it later." And he's like, "This is not going to happen. You will never wash my feet." Now, we give Peter a bad time. He's the guy who always speaks first, thinks later. But if you really think about what Peter is doing, he has good intentions. He's protecting the dignity of his rabbi, of his teacher and Lord. He doesn't want to see him humiliated doing something so lowly and disgusted. And especially the disciples at this time, we're told, are trying to decide amongst themselves which one of them is the greatest. So they're kind of jockeying for position. And while they're doing that, Jesus does something so humiliating that it's a shock and a horror to Peter. And he tries to manage Jesus and protect him from humiliating himself so badly. How many of you will be honest enough to say at your place of work every once in a while you kind of have to make sure people know what the pecking order is? Anybody? You kind of just want to make sure that people know that you're not the lowest on the totem pole. So you're in a meeting, everybody's gathered together, and everybody wants coffee, but who's going to get the coffee? And you know that the first person who goes and gets that coffee, they are kind of admitting that they're the one that gets the coffee. We may be in all kinds of settings where we try to protect our position, protect our dignity. Jesus is saying to Peter, what I'm about to do for you, you need to let me do this because you don't understand what it means. And once Peter refuses, Jesus says, if you don't let me do this, you have no share with me. You can't be with me at all, Peter, unless you let me do it. And at that point, once again, Peter goes to the extreme and he says, well, then give me a bath. Hands, head, feet, everything. Jesus says, you've already bathed, Peter. Let's just deal with your feet. Now, if you think about it, what Jesus is saying to Peter is practically true. It's true just kind of in normal, tangible ways, but it's also true in a spiritual sense. If you left your house, let's say you bathe early in the morning, and then you go to a dinner, while you're walking there with your open-toe sandals, and especially if your feet were wet, by the time you get to the dinner, your feet are filthy. You don't need a bath, but you do need your feet cleaned. And Jesus is saying that our lives are just like that. The symbolism of this first bathing is what we call justification. Jesus is saying, in order for you to be with me, in order for you to have a share with me, the first thing that needs to happen is I need to clean you up. And we try, to the best of our ability, because we misunderstand this, to clean up ourselves before we come to God. I remember one time inviting my cousin to church, and she said, oh, cuz, I can't come. Why? I don't have anything to wear. And I was telling her, you know, we tend to preach in T-shirts and jeans. It's California, okay? That's how we did it out there. But her thinking was, I need to get myself looking my best before I'm among all of those holy people. And those of us who have been around the church long enough, we know you really don't need to do that. But we try to clean ourselves up spiritually as well in order to come to God. We think, God wouldn't accept me until I kind of get my life in order. I know there are things in my life that really need to be made right. So I need to work on that before I start coming to God. And Jesus is saying, no, it's just the opposite. Peter, I need to clean you in order for you to spend time with me. There is a work that only Jesus can do. Now, interestingly enough, commentators and theologians, scholars looking at this passage, make a parallel between the washing of the feet and what Jesus will do the next day, the crucifixion. Because, especially one of my favorite theologians, a guy named Craig Keener, he talks about how this act of humiliation was a foreshadowing of the humiliation that he would experience the next day when he was crucified. Crucifixion was designed not just to cause excruciating pain, but to humiliate a person in the worst possible way. So he was crucified, hanging on a cross, naked on the side of a road so that everyone could walk by and see him. So Jesus, in this act of bowing down and washing the disciples' feet, is foreshadowing what he would do the next day to cleanse them and to cleanse you and I of all of our sin. But he says to Peter that you've already had that bath, Peter. I've already welcomed you into my family. You're already saved, if we want to use our kind of current language. But you still need me to wash your feet. Well, what does he mean by that? The spiritual symbol there is sanctification. That even those of us who have come to Christ and our lives have been transformed, we have been cleansed by him, by his work on the cross, and we are living a new life by his resurrection, we still pick up the dust and the muck of life, the day-to-day sins and mistakes that we make, and our day-to-day pains and struggles. And Jesus is saying, I need to daily cleanse you of those things as well if you are going to be with me. So to be with Jesus, we are with Jesus only through his service to us. We are with Jesus only through his service to us. It's only possible because he serves us, and we have to allow him to do what only he can do. Now, I remember this kind of feeling like a job is a little bit too below me. Has anybody ever been asked to do something you think, that's kind of below my status, below my pay grade? Okay, nobody else? Okay, good. I gotta need to stop asking you guys to raise your hands. I don't get very many hands up. I was 16 years old when I became a driver for a pizza parlor. Some of you might realize that that was illegal. You have to be 18 years old in order to drive, but the owner of the company was only 22 and he didn't care. So I go to work there. I was pretty excited. My cousin was already working there. He told me about the place. And I get there, I'm excited, I'm going to be making pizzas, I'm going to be delivering pizzas. And the guy takes me to the back room and he says, okay, this is the bathroom. Adam, clean that toilet. And I said, what? I mean, what do you mean clean the toilet? I mean, clean how? I mean, what exactly does that mean, clean the toilet? And he said, Adam, clean the effing toilet. I knew how to clean a toilet. I grew up, to be honest, you know, as a little kid, watching the toilet miraculously stay clean. Anybody had this experience? You go in the bathroom, the toilet is clean. Even if you mess it up as a kid, you come back, it's clean again. And I found out later that it was mom and dad that were going in there cleaning the toilet, and eventually they taught me how to do it. So by the time I'm working at this pizza parlor, I know how to clean a toilet. But I was so shocked by what the guy was telling me to do, eventually I did clean it. I found out later that that was actually good training for ministry. I'll say more about that later. So why was Peter saying that he didn't want Jesus to do this? Because Peter needed to defend his position in the group to try to protect his ego and status. And he thought it was important for him to do the same for Jesus. Now, we also kind of do the opposite, you know, where we can either use service as something that's too bad as a way to avoid being demeaned, or we can do it the other way around. Now, I mentioned that this experience as a pizza guy was good training for ministry. I planted a church years ago in LA with a team of people, and we planted in a recreation center, the community recreation center. And we went in there, and to our horror, we found that the bathrooms had these stainless steel toilets with no seats on them. I'm told they're the same as the kind in prison. So we thought, well, you know, for guys, that's probably okay. But for the ladies, boy, that's going to be a tough one. So Pastor Q, the guy who was planting the church with me, had a great idea. We went to Home Depot, and we bought some toilet seats. And we bought some clamps, and we would go to this place every Sunday early before service, clean the toilets, clamp on these new toilet seats, leave them there during the church service, and then after, when we packed everything up and drove off, we would take our clamped toilet seats, clean those up, put them into the truck with everything else, and drive away. And some of you are thinking, boy, that was such a humble thing. And that's the whole idea. You see how you think better of me now that I told you that story? That's what we do. So sometimes we serve really out of a way of gaining status the opposite way, and especially at church, by showing that we are the humblest of anyone else. I have a friend, she comes from, you know, Asian background, and the form of greeting in her family and her culture is to bow. And she said that her mother was the best bower of anybody. So the idea is when you meet someone, you bow, but you want to bow a little bit lower than them. That's how you show your humility, right? And she said, my mother can hit 90 degrees. You're never going to bow lower than her. Sometimes we do that. We try to actually gain status through serving. But being with Jesus, it causes us to imitate him, not only in his service, but we imitate him in his attitude towards service. So being with Jesus causes us to imitate him in serving others. Let's take a look at what it looks like to actually imitate Jesus in serving others. So if we look at this passage closely, Jesus had said to his disciples, beginning with verse 14, so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So Jesus is telling us to imitate him by washing one another's feet. I'll say more about what that means in a moment. But John, the writer of this gospel, also says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as Jesus did. So John is saying, look, one of the ways that you even know that you know him is that you will start to look like him. You will start to do things that he did. You'll start to actually imitate him. Well, let's look at what it means for us to imitate him. He's saying that we ought to wash one another's feet. You remember the symbolic meaning of kind of cleaning one another up? We talked last week about confession, and confession is one of the ways that we actually care for one another. Yes, we have been brought into the family by Jesus, but we have these daily struggles of both temptations and hurts that are done to us, and we care for one another and take care of one another and help clean one another from the dust and the dirt that this world sends our way that tends to stick to us. But we do it the way Jesus did it, and so we need to look a little bit closer at what it actually means to imitate him. See, Jesus didn't have to avoid demeaning tasks to protect his status. He knew that serving did not make him less than those he served. Remember at the beginning of this passage, there was kind of an introduction, kind of a preamble to it, but it actually is quite critical what it says. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied the towel around himself. Jesus is serving because he already knows who he is. Jesus served out of a sense of assurance of his own identity. He served out of the assurance of his identity, knowing that he was not losing his character, his power, his identity as the Son of God. He was capable of serving. In other words, we have problems with either being reluctant to do demeaning things or doing them to get attention because of our own insecurity. Because of that insecurity, we'll either avoid difficult tasks, demeaning tasks that we think may be beneath us, or we'll do them to try to get someone to notice and to give us some attention. But Jesus served out of the assurance of his identity. Jesus also served people, whether those people were worthy or not. One of the things that we'll have a tendency to do when we're serving others is to try to decide whether this is a worthy person for us to be serving. If we're going to serve the poor, are they the worthy poor, you know? But if you look at who Jesus was actually serving, remember, Judas is at the table. And the text tells us, before it explains what Jesus did with the foot washing, it says Satan had already entered into Judas to convince him to go and betray Jesus. So Judas is already plotting to hand Jesus over to a hit squad, and Jesus knows it. And yet he goes and washes Judas's feet, knowing that Judas will kiss him on the cheek later that night so that people can take him away to be assassinated. Jesus washes Peter's feet, knowing that Peter, within a few hours, will deny that he ever knew Jesus. And Jesus washes all the other disciples, knowing that when the time comes for them to arrest him, every one of them will run away. Jesus served people regardless of whether those people were worthy. We're with Jesus in service as the Holy Spirit flows through us. Because hopefully, as you're listening to how Jesus is calling us to serve like him, to imitate him, you're starting to think, that's not sustainable. I know for me, if I try to do this, especially serving people who are enemies like Judas, you know, I might not make it past Tuesday with that. There are people at your job that maybe God has called you to serve, but you know that they're actively trying to undermine you. Anybody have some people that come to mind when you think of some folks that are actually active enemies in your life? It might be a family member or a neighbor who you've got some type of feud going on with, or it could be that coworker who's just looking to put a knife in your back and take your spot. There are all kinds of situations we face. They're real. They're temptations every week, dealing with very difficult and ornery people. I mentioned that my mother was a saint. Let me tell you a little bit about her ability to serve like this. You know, I saw her serve some people who were very mean to her. And she would clean bedpans, the whole thing. She was training other people how to do the same. I remember one lady that was at the facility where my mom worked, and through no fault of her own, she was as mean as a cornered cat. She would walk around this hospital all day long mumbling to herself. They had to buy her tennis shoes, new ones, about every month. But the problem is she was suffering from dementia, so it wasn't really her fault. But boy, if you stopped her, just tried to get her to slow down from walking through the halls all day long, she would cuss you up one side and down the other. As a high school kid, I actually learned some curse words from this lady. You know, you think, high school kid, you know everything. I heard her say some stuff I'd never heard before to my mom. And so I had an example of someone who loved Jesus, and because of Jesus being in her heart, served in a very, very different way. I saw someone empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve. Here's how Jesus describes that for us. We find it actually in John 15, an explanation of this different type of service. It says, "Abide in me," this is beginning with verse 4, John 15, verse 4, "abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Now that last line, I think we kind of edit that as we read it many times. We might read it and think to ourselves, apart from me, you can do very little. Or apart from me, you can do nothing really of consequence. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That is quite literally true. We draw our breath, every breath, because of Jesus. The Bible tells us that he sustains the universe by the word of his power. We exist because of him. Apart from him, we literally can do nothing. But when it comes to this act of service, Jesus here describes it as the bearing of fruit. Now, I had an interesting experience later in my teenage years and in my early 20s. My dad bought an abandoned schoolhouse in Napa, California. It's about 3.5 acres. So we were surrounded by vineyards. We had the Hess Winery on one side, Mount Veeder Winery on another, and I got to see the grapes go through their whole cycle. You know what I never saw? I never saw a branch on a grapevine struggling and straining to push out a grape. You know, I never saw these clusters where there was a branch that was like, gotta do a grape today. Just didn't happen. All it had to do, if the branch was connected to the vine, the grapes would show up. And sure enough, when they dressed the vines later in the year and they cut those branches off, they withered and dried up and died. If we're going to try to imitate Jesus, we cannot do that in our own strength. It is not sustainable. We will burn out. And so what we have to do is just focus on being connected to Jesus. And all this other stuff starts to flow out of us. The service starts to happen just like fruit growing on a vine. Now, there's a wonderful way to be with Jesus in that experience where we are with him by him actually bringing us into relationships through his service to us. And now we are with him by imitating him. And even more powerfully, we are with Jesus as his spirit is flowing through us. But there's another way that Jesus is with us in service that's kind of turns this whole thing around, and there's a deeper mystery to it. We are with Jesus as he is present in those we serve. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40 describes the judgment of the nations when Jesus says the king himself will call all the nations together and judge them, separating them the way a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And in this process, the judgment is going to be based on what they did and did not do. And he will describe to them whether they are sheep or goats based on that. Let's read it together. Beginning with verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will gather before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those at the right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The interesting thing about this story is that the people that Jesus is saying this to at the end, he's saying they didn't know that they were serving him. It wasn't like they went out of this church service today and said, I've got to go find somebody in need and go serve them because I'm really serving Jesus. He's saying they just, at the end, don't even realize that that's what was happening. Of course, now he's kind of tipped his hand and we all know. But I remember having an undercover boss situation. I worked at a company that was owned by a family in Chicago. I was in Atlanta at the time, and they would warn us whenever the owners were coming. Look, you're managing the warehouse, get your chair out of the warehouse, because if they see you sitting down, you're going to get fired. I mean, it was that kind of thing. It was fear everywhere within the facility. And I remember walking around making sure my department was nice and clean and everybody was doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I heard somebody behind me say, Adam. And I turn around, and I'd never seen this person before, but he was one of the owners of the company and he knew everybody by name. And we just started talking. And he started asking me questions about my department. Jesus is saying that we are actually going to be going about our business, doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we don't realize he's there. But he'll be there in the face of the people that we're serving. He's telling us that in advance. I had an experience like this also. I lost my mom and my dad. And when each of them passed, something very interesting happened. When my dad passed, I wanted to be with my brother so bad. I missed my father. I wanted to just hug him one more time, tell him I loved him. But he was nowhere. He was gone at that point. So I wanted to be with my brother. And as I'm looking at my brother and we're driving down the road, my brother looks at me and he's crying. And I said, why are you crying? And he says, why are you crying? And my brother says, when I look at you, I see him. That's why. The same thing happened when my mother died and I was with my sister who was still with me at the time. And I could see my mother's face in my sister's face. And I had a way of showing that pent-up love for my mom by hugging my sister and caring for her. Or showing my love for my brother, for my dad, by loving my brother who looked so much like him. Jesus is saying, if you love him, if you want to serve him, he's given you a way to do it. You can find him in the face of those who are most desperately in need of help. And he describes all the ways that we can come to a person's aid, from water and food and clothing and shelter, visiting them in their time of danger and need. And right now, some of you are going through that. We're living at a time in our country alone where there are people who are living in constant fear of being deported, of being the victims of violence. And it's happening all over the world, but happening here in an unprecedented way. And there are people within this congregation who need someone to reach out to them in love, perhaps to bring them a meal because they're afraid to go out. Jesus is saying, whenever we do those things, he is actually with us. He is with us because he has brought us into relationship with him. We're not doing these things in order to impress him. We're not doing these things in order for him to make us acceptable. He's saying he's already done that. We are with him because we are imitating him. And we are with him because the Holy Spirit is flowing through him. But we find that we are with him again because he is there in the face of those we serve. You know, as you listen to this, you might be thinking, okay, what are we going to do with all of this stuff, Pastor? I've got three action steps for you. Let me boil it down for you. Number one, receive the service that Jesus has done for you. Jesus has made it possible for you to come near him because he died on a cross to take away every obstacle that separates you from him. And Jesus is still doing that ongoing work for those of us in relationship with him as he cleans us up from the muck and the dirt of the day. Number two, imitate Jesus by serving others. Serve not only in the same actions, but serve with the same mindset. You know, there's one other passage I wanted to share with you. I'm going to read that for you now. It's in Philippians chapter 2. As it describes this attitude that Jesus had, we serve others imitating him, but we imitate not only his actions, but his thinking. Listen to this. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So we receive the work that Jesus has done for us, and then we also imitate Jesus by serving others. And finally, we focus on experiencing Jesus as we serve. You know, one of the most beautiful things for me now is that there are certain actions that I'll do that remind me so much of the love that my parents had for me that I'm with them in that experience. I don't know if those of you are parents, if you've ever helped your kid to bed when the kid is asleep and they fell asleep maybe in the car or on the couch or something, and you have to scoop them up and carry them to bed. Anybody ever had that experience? I did that for my daughter many times, but I remember the first time I ever did it, I had a flashback to a time when I was a little boy and I had fallen asleep and my dad scooped me in his arms and carried me to my room. How do I remember? Because I wasn't really asleep. I had kind of one eye. I was watching. I was pretending to be asleep. I was asleep when he started, but I woken up and I was pretending to be asleep. And I watched as he laid me down on the bed and he untied my Converse high tops, you know, pulled off my little shoes and put the blanket over me and tucked me in. And as I did that for my daughter, that feeling of memory came back. And it was as though I were with my Father again. Jesus is saying to us that we can experience his presence in this third way of just focusing our attention on experiencing him as we serve others will cause us to be with him in service. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you so much. We desire so much to be with you. We know we can be with you in prayer. We can be with you in confession. Thank you, God, that you have made a way for us to also be with you in service. And so we pray even this week and throughout our lives, Lord, that we will find you in the faces of those we serve, and we will experience you as your Spirit flows through us as we seek to imitate you in serving anyone, Lord, that you put in our path. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.